Shaktasya hi brahmana esha panta.
Shaktasya hi brahmana esha panta.
Yannama bhirdhyayati vira parkai.
Yannama bhirdhyayati vira parkai.
Pari brahmam statra navinda terta. Maya mayeva sanaya shayanaha. Shabdasya of the Vedic sound, he certainly Brahmanaha of the Vedas, Eshaha, these, Tantaha, the way, Yat, what is, Namabhi, by different names, Yahayati, ponders. Dihi, intelligence. Apartai, by meaningless ideas. Paribrahman, wandering. Tatra, there. Na, never. Vindate, enjoys. Arthan, realities. Maya maye, an illusory thing. Vasanayo, by different desires. Shayanaha, as if dreaming in sleep. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktananda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The way of presentation of the Vedic sounds is so bewildering that it directs the intelligence of the people to meaningless things like the heavenly kingdoms. The conditioned souls hover in dreams of such heavenly illusory pleasures, but actually they do not relish any tangible happiness in such places. Report. The conditioned soul is always engaged in laying out plans for happiness within the mature world, even up to the end of the universal limit. He is not even satisfied with available amenities on this planet Earth, where he has exploited the resources of nature to the best of his ability. He wants to go to the moon and the planet Venus to exploit resources there. But the Lord has warned us in Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, text 16, about the worthlessness of all the innumerable planets of this universe, as well as those planets within other systems. But none of them is immune. There are innumerable universes and also innumerable planets in each of them, but none of them is immune to the chief miseries of material existence, namely the pangs of birth, the pangs of death, the pangs of old age, and the pangs of disease. The Lord says that even the topmost planet, known as the Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, and what to speak of other planets like the heavenly planets, is not a happy land for residential purposes, due to the presence of material pangs as above mentioned. Conditioned souls are strictly under the laws of fruitive activities, and as such they sometimes go up to Brahmalok and again come down to Patalalok, as if they were unintelligent children on a merry-go-round. Do you all know what a merry-go-round is? Have you all been on a merry-go-round? I hope so. Otherwise, he had a miserable childhood. The real happiness is in the kingdom of God, where no one has to undergo the pangs of material existence. Therefore, the Vedic ways of fruitive activities for the living entities are misleading. One thinks of a superior way of life in this country or that, or on this planet or another. But nowhere in the material world can he fulfill his real desire of life, namely eternal life, full intelligence, and complete bliss. Indirectly, Srila Shukadeva Goswami affirms that Maharaj Parikshit, in the last stage of life, should not desire to transfer himself to the so-called heavenly planets, but should prepare himself for going back home, back to Godhead. None of the material planets, nor the amenities available there for living conditions, is everlasting. Therefore, one must have a factual reluctance to enjoy such temporary happiness as they afford. Shabdasya hi brahmana esha panta yannam avirvyayati dhirapartai pari brahmamstatra navindatirtan maya maye vasanaya shayanaha. The way of presentation of the Vedic sounds is so bewildering that it directs the intelligence of the people to meaningless things like the heavenly kingdoms. The conditioned souls hover in dreams of such heavenly illusory pleasures, but actually they do not relish any tangible happiness in such places. Om Gyanatimrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurundiritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaiti Viradhar Shivasari Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayavacha Taditana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. We're very grateful and happy to be back here at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Vallabh, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadevi, Sri Gauri Thai, Srila Prabhupada, the assembly of all the Vaishnavas, with the blessings of our seniors, Prem Prabhu. We like to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So here Sugare Goswami is starting his presentation to Maharaj Pariksit. And he is pointing out the futility of the attempt of the conditioned soul to enjoy in this mature world. Maharaj Pariksit is about to leave this world in 7 days. Thus, it is only natural that he is meditating on what is his future destination. That is the nature of the human being. Always making plans for enjoyment, for future activity. So, he is speaking here. Sugadeva Goswami is presenting here the facts that the heavenly kingdoms are not a very desirable destination for a person who is actually knowledgeable. Brahmana janititi brahman. Here the word brahmana means the Vedas, the import of the Vedic knowledge. So brahman knows the Vedic truths. But because Srila Vyasadeva has compiled the Vedas in such a way, he has explained all the different types of possibilities of engagement, the different possibilities and the different destinations which can be achieved. He has given a complete outlay of the entire menu. And he has said, voila, now take your pick. But this has led to some confusion on behalf of the people who are faced with this tremendous variety of different paths and rituals and processes which will lead to different destinations. So, that's why Narada Muni told Srila Vyasadeva that you should exclusively describe Krishna, the real goal of the human form of life. Otherwise, you will not come out of your state of dissatisfaction. Now, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he's very clearly mentioned, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna Mamupeti Tukaunteya Punar Janma Navidyate. Or is it Tukale Amasashvatam? Punar Janma Navidyate. Okay, thank you. So, he has very clearly mentioned that from the highest planet down to the lowest, all our places of misery, where repeated birth and death take place. So we should not try to find happiness in temporary places. Nowadays we can see how the humans have exploited Mother Earth, Bhumi, to a great extent in all the different continents of this world and in between the continents, trying to exploit the resources of this planet to the maximum. But they're not satisfied with that. We're not satisfied with what Mother Earth has given us. We're making plans how we can go to the moon, how we can go to Venus, to Mars, to set up more mining and more labor colonies and more tourism. You can buy tickets to go into outer space for a great amount of money. How long you will be out there? Very short time. But it doesn't matter. We have to go there. Because somebody said there is something to be enjoyed. There is some happiness to be achieved. That is the nature of the conditioned soul. It's so much adamant, so much determined to enjoy in this world that it will take any risk, any type of dangerous situation. It is very dangerous to go into outer space. Just like if you go underwater, it's a dangerous situation. I'm sure many of you have done diving. It's a dangerous environment because you're out of your natural habitat, out of your natural environment. And anything can happen while you're underwater. There are other living entities who consider you their food. I met a boy in Byron, and his face was all stitched up. And I asked, "Did you try to kiss the reef?" And he said, "Yes, I did. I did." And he was very proud that his whole face was cut up because he went surfing, or suffering, as Prabhupada called it. And he had a close encounter with the reef. So everybody is trying to exploit material nature. And what happens is they get scarred and they get frustrated in their attempts. But still the living entity will never give up because we have adamant. You know what the word adamant means? It's like dog stubborn. Like a dog who does not want to move even though the master wants to pull it by its leash. Or a donkey. You can try to do anything, you scream, you yell, you pull, you beat it, it won't move. So in the same way, even though we have been kicked, we have been beaten, we have been insulted, we have been shouted at, we are adamant. No, I will enjoy in this world. Why? Because I can. Because somebody said it's possible. It's an option. It's an opportunity. And thus, we take great risks trying to go to foreign places just to gain a little bit of that sense enjoyment. But it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Svavitvara Hostrakara Isanstuta Purusha Prashu, that these pleasures of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are very easily available in the lower species. So why are we wasting our time? Why are we wasting our effort? And why are we risking our lives for something that is available to the hogs and dogs, to the stool eaters? It is not a very intelligent proposal. So Shukadeva Goswami, he's appealing here to Maharaj Parikshit and telling him that he should strive for the highest destination and not settle for anything mediocre, for anything less than that. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter about the description of the kingdom of God, Srila Prabhupada, in the second last purport, explains that we may be in any condition of life, but if we continue to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, that we cannot be unhappy. He said it's impossible to be unhappy if you continuously chant Hare Krishna. If we simply understand and follow this one sentence of this one purport by Prabhupada. Now everyone in this world is trying to avoid misery and to achieve happiness. That is the goal, that is the search of our existence. We're looking to minimize pain and to maximize pleasure. So if we just take that one sentence to heart and follow it. If we continuously chant Krishna's holy name, we cannot be unhappy. Or in other words, we will be happy. Then we can achieve this highest goal of the human form of life. But our problem is that we do not have faith. Our faith in the words of the spiritual master, is very superficial. It is not very profound. We have more faith in what society, what the friends, what the media tells us. We have more faith in that. We put our money, we put our life's savings, we put our life's breath on what these agents are propounding, instead of having faith in Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. That is a very unfortunate situation. Now, how do we increase our faith? Because faith is the currency. Faith is all that actually matters. How can we increase our faith? That is the question. Now, the Acharyas explained to us that initially, that faith comes from associating with saintly persons. When we associate with saintly persons, some of that spark, some of that faith, it rubs off on us and it gets generated in our own lives. And then we can pursue it through devotional practice, through cleansing of the heart. But the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the primary, the most important activity. But we can only chant Hare Krishna if we learn how to live in the association of devotees without committing offenses. Otherwise, at one point, we'll say, I'm out of here. This stinks. I don't like this. And we'll take off. And we'll shut ourselves off from the association of the Vaishnavas, which is a very unfortunate situation. Srila Prabhupada has created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness so that each and every person can come here and can take up the practice of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is the process by which we can actually worship the Lord and please Him. And thus, by His own grace, He will reveal Himself in the core of our own heart. In these verses of the third canto, Srila Prabhupada also explains that we can only get the grace of the Lord by His benevolence, by His magnanimity. And Krishna will only give us that when we are free from any tinge of material desire. Rupa Goswami explains, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyana avritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhakti uttama. Uttama bhakti is defined as being devoid of the tendency of karma and jnana. Now many times we think, oh, I'm not a karmi, I'm not a jnani, I'm a devotee. Look, I've got all these signs, I'm a devotee. But how often did we flirt, how often did we glance upon karma and jnana with some lustful tendency? Oh, if I would just have a little bit more money, if I would just have a little bit more knowledge, it could be useful for my devotional service. But pure devotion is not dependent on these things. Krishna, He is only achievable through pure devotion. That is the only quality that is actually attractive to Him. So, Shukadeva Goswami is pointing out these facts and he is showing his student, Maharaj Parikshit, the highest destination. Now, Shukadeva Goswami is a Paramahamsa. He did not take any interest in mundane topics. In fact, he stated right in the beginning, of this Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Dharma Prochita Kaitavotra Paramonir Matsaram Satam. All the cheating business is kicked out right in the first line. So, but he did never meet Maharaj Parikshit while Maharaj Parikshit was in office. It's quite an interesting fact. They never met. Only when he actually gave up the kingdom and he was ready to take on spiritual practice fully, wholeheartedly, did Shukadeva Goswami appear and give him his instructions. So, in the same way, our aspirations should be to worship Krishna, to please Krishna, and to attain Krishna. If we have these aspirations, And we're following through on this, then there is a chance that by the grace of the spiritual master, we can actually achieve our desired goal. Yasyadeve parabhaktir yathadeve tathagura tasyaite katita hirta prakashante mahatmana. The pleasure of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Otherwise, we have to face Durga. Durga. Durgama. The one which makes going very difficult. Just like when you try to run on sand. And we have all tried. It's very laborious. It's very difficult. You don't get any traction. You feel like I'm moving on the same spot. Especially if it's quicksand. In the same way, we're walking on this molasses, on this wet tar, and we can hardly get anywhere. But if we are connecting ourselves with the desire of the spiritual master, then we can get, actually, some traction. Now, even the living entity who is traveling throughout the universe, you may think that this person has got it really made, is really happening. Like nowadays, if you want to be a successful person, you have to go places and meet people and send pictures and communicate with others and tell them all about your great deal of achievement, right? But actually, if you're having so much fun, if you're actually having such a good time and you're living such a fulfilled and rich life, if it's really happening, you wouldn't have any time or any concern to even take a picture. One Christian monk once said that I'd rather experience an epiphany, a religious moment, than to know the meaning of the word epiphany. We're studying Shastra, we're studying so many verses, we're learning so many things. That's great, but for what purpose? We want to experience this taste of Krishna consciousness. Param drishvani vartate. Now how can we experience this taste of Krishna consciousness? It is only possible if we please Guru and Krishna. Because only by their grace will that taste become revealed to us. It is not an empiric process that we say we take two of this, five of that, and three of that, and we shake it, and then boom, that's the formula. No. Yugai tam nimeshena, chakshusha pravishaitam, shunyaitam jagat sarvam, govinda virahenam. It is Krishna's prerogative. A devotee does not demand and say, I've been a good boy now, I've been a good girl, I've been chanting, I've been doing service, where is the ecstasy? I deserve. I have done so many decades of service, now is payback time. Input versus output. No! Sometimes you do all the work and you get negative result. And at other times you don't do nothing. And ecstasy comes and hits you in the face and picks you up and throws you all over the place. So, Krishna consciousness is not a mundane process. That's why we cannot use our rationale that we have acquired. We think, oh, I've got common sense, right? Because I went to school, I've got common sense. Well, first of all, there's nothing as common sense nowadays. Because what's common in one place is very uncommon in another place. No need to get into details. But it's very different in any place you go. But because we're conditioned souls, we have the four defects. What are those four defects? We tend to make mistakes. Now we know some people, they're never wrong, but they're not always right. What else? We have imperfect senses. Sometimes we take something for something else. It does happen to the best. We can be covered by illusion. And the most prevalent, the most stark one, our cheating propensity. Now you may say, cheating? Me? No. I'm a good Canadian, or I'm a good Aussie, or I'm a good Swiss, I'm a pious Hindu. I don't cheat. Right? Have you ever thought about that one? Did it ever happen to you that you had two beads left on your counting, on your counter, and you were thinking, did I chant those two rounds or not? Oh, yeah, I chanted them, yes, you know. The mind is fabulous in rationalizing everything. Now, you can talk to a hitman, to a person who kills people for a living, and with the same rationale, he will explain to you in very eloquent words why he does what he does, why he's the best at what he does, and why he's living an honest, God-fearing, pious life by ridding the earth from all these scumbags, from all these unwanted elements. With the same logic, people will explain to you any type of sinful activity that they're engaging in. Why? Because the mind has got this cheating tendency. The conditioned soul is under these four defects. That's why common sense is not only very uncommon, but it is actually quite unuseful in spiritual practice. Because a lot of things that make total sense on the mundane platform make no sense whatsoever on the spiritual platform, and vice versa. So we should not use our mundane logic and our mundane sense of judgment when it comes to spiritual topics. That's why Kaviraj Goswami has said that if you want to use your logic, if you want to use your common sense and your ability to judge and to study and to discern, then evaluate this. Study the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. And you analyze, you study their life and their way of how they acted and how they gave this highest gift of love of God at Prema Pumartha Mohan freely to all living entities. So apply your common sense, your ability to study to that. And it will become useful. Otherwise, it's simply a waste of time. To know how to well kick a ball or how to well do a job, it's actually not very useful. So spiritual life is not something that you do when you feel a little bad about yourself and you just need to get something as an upper to again make you functional. Sometimes people think, yeah, that's okay, you know. If it's good for you, it's good for you. I do other things. Everybody has what they call occupational therapy. Have you heard of occupational therapy? You give something to do to people so that they keep them calm, so they can pacify their mind. No. Krishna consciousness is the eternal occupation of the soul. Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti Sadhika Bunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Koryadoi. If we want to experience this Sachit Ananda, this eternity knowledge and bliss, it is only available through the engaging in Harinam Sankirtan. So even as devotees, sometimes we can try to avoid the Harinam Sankirtan process. Why? Because we are distancing, we are shutting ourselves off, not only from the activity, but from the experience. Because we have this ritualistic approach that I will just do this, this, and this, and then I will get what I deserve. But Krishna consciousness doesn't work like that. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not looking for people who are qualified. He's looking for people who have lolyam, or greed, or this intense longing. People who have the desire to get the mercy. That can be our only qualification. In fact, our only qualification is that we have no qualification. Srila Prabhupada said, I've made your qualification. A few months ago, I was in Udupi, Karnataka, distributing books. It's a very special place. It's Madhavacharya's place, and there's Udupi Krishna, a very beautiful temple. They have a square, it's called Cart Street, where they have Rata Yatra every night. So, beautiful place you should all visit at one point. And the whole town is centered around Krishna. Everybody wants to see Krishna at least once a day. It's quite an interesting meditation. You see people even in their business attire, and there is a hole in the wall right opposite the deities, like where Prabhupada would be, a little hole in the wall. So people go there, they take off their shoes, they make their pranams, they do their rituals, whatever it is that they do. They put on their shoes and they go back to business. Even if they don't have time to get into the temple. So people are very much focused on Krishna. It's a very nice place. So I went there for different reasons, health reasons and also preaching reasons. So we were walking around Cart Street distributing Prabhupada's books, and we met one pandit. He was with dhoti and chadar, Brahmin thread, tilak, neck beads, big sika, and he had many disciples, and he was carrying many big books under his arm. So I went up to him and I gave him Perfection of Yoga, one small book by Prabhupada. And all the disciples went, "Whoa, whoa, 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 hey, don't you know who this is?" And I'm like, "No, I don't. This is Pandichi, this is Guruji, this is our teacher. You can't give any books to him. He knows it all. He's Chaturvedi, this, that, the other thing." So then the pandit, he looked at me. And he asked me a question. "Would you like to know what he asked me?" "Are you sure?" "Thanks for your great audience participation." I knew it was worth it coming down to Melbourne and freezing a little bit. So he asked me, "What is your qualification?" I was shocked, because in India, if somebody asks you what's your qualification, it may mean many things. It may mean, what is your gotra? What is your family lineage? What is the tradition that you're following? What's your position in that society? And what's your level of learning, of education? So I was analyzing for a split second and was thinking, whatever I will reply, he's not going to like it. It's not going to cut it. So what do you do when that moment of truth comes? You know the moment of truth? When that's that moment of silence? And you don't know what to do or what to say. What are you doing in that situation? Keshava Prabhu, Sankirtan, experience. There's no time to think. Your mind goes blank. It's like when you go swimming and you meet the shark, you know? What do you do? You just, in your heart of hearts, you just say, "Krishna, if I've ever been a good boy, if I've ever chanted your name, if I've ever done anything that's useful in this life, take that pious credit and give it to this fellow here, because this guy needs it. Because his ego is big. And there's nothing I can do to bridge that gap. There's no way from where I'm standing I can reach him, even though he's right in front of me. I can't reach this person. Culturally, socially, intellectually, I can't reach this person. He's out of my reach." So when we do that, usually Krishna in the heart, you know, he does the magic. He knows how to play the magic. If you want to see magic, you have to go on Sankirtan. Because Krishna will appear and he will play the magic. And all of a sudden something comes to your mind and it just works. So I just blurted out, "Gopi Bhartur Parakamalayur Dasa Dasa Nudasa." And he smiled. And he took out 10 rupees and he gave it to me. And he said, good boy, very nice. Very good. Go on, carry on with your work." And he walked away with his disciples and one of Prabhupada's books. For those of you who don't know what it means, I just said, look, don't shoot the messenger. I'm simply trying to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis who are serving Srimati Radharani, who's serving Krishna. Or in other words, don't try to find fault with me. I'm just trying to deliver the message here. It's not about me. Just take the message seriously, please. And he accepted that. So we may not be knowledgeable. We may not be austere. We may not be born in such a pious South Indian Saraswat Brahmin family. But if we take shelter of this Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the instruction of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, in the association of the Vaishnavas, Krishna will empower us. In Bhagavad Gita verse 10:10, in the purport, Prabhupada says, you may be part of a spiritual organization, you may have accepted spiritual master, but still you may not get it. You may still miss the point. But if you're sincere and you're engaged in devotional service with all your ability and potential, Krishna within your heart, He will give you whatever it is that you're lacking. He will close that gap. He will make that bridge. So that is the experience that we want each and every person to have who comes through this door or through that gate, who comes to the Krishna conscious movement. Otherwise, we'll be cheating them. We'll be selling ourselves short. We'll be giving them some cultural experience. But they came for the highest thing. So just like Shukadeva Goswami, he was not just talking Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. He's not just telling, okay, now you're a Kshatriya. You know, if you behave nicely, next life you'll be a Brahmin like me. How comforting is that? That would be cheating. No, he told them, this is the goal, and this is the means, the process by which you can achieve that goal. So let us follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and become Rupanugas, become proper recipients of this mercy. And by our humility and our service attitude, tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya padekshantite gyanam gyanina sattodarshina, then we can acquire this Vedic wisdom by sharing it with everybody whom we meet. But most of the time, we're already full. We're so full of it that Krishna first has to rock our boat. He has to make some adjustment, that there's some space. He has to deflate us, that there's some space for something new. And that is Maya's thankless task. So, it is our choice. The only thing that we can offer Krishna is our slight independence. That is actually our only property. That's the only thing we can call our own. Of course, it was given to us by Krishna, but that is what we have in our hands, that slight independence. Because we're tatashta, we're small, we're minute. Tatashta also is that line where the water meets the land. It's a very thin line. It's like when you're sitting on a fence. Have you ever sat on a fence? We've all sat on a fence, right? I mean, not as adults, but when you're kids, you do stupid things like that. You sit on fences and you watch people. At one point, you have to get down from the fence because it's not very comfortable. You can't live on the fence. You have to make a move. So you can get down either on this side or on that side. So, we can't dance on different weddings or ride on different horses simultaneously. So now Jamastami is coming. Tomorrow is Krishna's birthday, where the Lord appears. So today is a good meditation. What can I do to make myself ready, to clean my heart, to imbibe the proper mood? So Krishna will want to reside in the sacred space, in the lotus, the temple of my heart, where I can worship Him through this performance of Harinam Sankirtan. And that is loving devotional service in the association of devotees, in a non-envious, in a non-competitive, in a non-separatist mood. Because when we want to get to the spiritual world, to that highest, topmost place, there's going to be a lot of people there. So if we have a separatist mentality, and we think, hey, I'm Swiss, you know, there's only 7 million of us, so I'm distinct, you know, and I'm not going to share my life with all these common people who grew up on the bus, you know, then there's not going to be any place for us there. Because that place is, there's a lot of people there worshipping Krishna. So we better get to used to the idea that there is other living entities around who are also trying to do service. And we learn not only to tolerate them, not only to somehow live along with them, but we learn how to serve them, how to respect them, how to appreciate them. If we simply appreciate another devotee, we'll make great spiritual advancement by that. Krishna consciousness is so powerful. Hare Krishna. Today is a busy day. There's a lot of preparation to make, so we do not want to take too much of your time. We'll be here for a short week. Thank you for your patience. Any questions or comments, realizations? Frankly, short, Prabhu.
The residents of Vrindavan,
Thank you. I'm spending about 5 months a year in India, and it's a very good experience for me. And I see sometimes I'm in an airport and you have business people, they're all dressed in suits and all trying to look very distinguished and important. And you feel like, okay, how will I crack the ice with these people, you know? I can either give them the Switzerland mantra and all that, but it's just boring. So what do I do? So I usually just go up to them and say, Giriraj Maharaj ki! And everybody goes, ki jayo! And then they look at each other, what happened? You know? What happened? You try it. It works. Absolutely. And they totally lose it. And they all start to smile. And they're all like, whoa. You know? And you talk about Govardhan Parikram and this and that. And you give them books. And why? Because they're this close to Krishna. They're just looking in the wrong direction. As the Westerners, they may talk yoga, they may talk philosophy, they may talk this and that, but ultimately it's all, how can I get better sense gratification? And as soon as you bring out the G word, the God word, or Krishna, why do you have to bring him into this whole thing? I thought we had a moment here, we had something good going on. Why do you have to start to speak about, you know? So, we cannot judge a book by its cover. We cannot judge a person by their externals. So in these days, we'll see there will be many, many people who are coming here. And we should understand that they're all Krishna's devotees. And they all come here to see their worshipful Lord. So if we treat them with respect and with dignity and we serve them, Krishna will be very pleased. Because, just like in the story of Jayanvijay, when the Kumaras cursed Jayanvijay, Vishnu came out and he said, I apologize to you because my servants have mistreated you. So this is actually my offense. I take it on my own. This goes on me. So I want to make it up for you, to you. So he came to give them the darshan that they were hankering, that they were longing for. Now, of course, we should not try to experiment to do the same thing, put ourselves out there on the road and we say, you? No, you're not coming in here. To see what will Radha Vallabha do to us. Don't try it out. Of course, this is Leela, this is pastime. Krishna is very kind and he is never forgetting any living entity that has once chanted his name, that has once done service for him. Because Krishna is a very kind and merciful Lord. He is responsive. Krishna reciprocates with the love of his devotees. And those who help Krishna in his endeavor to reclaim the souls, they become very dear to Krishna. So this Jamastami festival is a wonderful opportunity to remind ourselves about the magnanimity, the greatness, the beauty, and the exquisite splendor of Krishna, and to share Krishna's mercy with all living entities that are all looking for this higher taste. Everybody's looking. We were walking this morning, praying with myself, walking on the beach, and people are out there looking for strength, looking for beauty, looking for wealth, looking for happiness. At 5 a.m., we're in the city area, and even though you get up at 4 o'clock and you go out on the road, there's traffic jams. People are out there looking for whatever it is that they're looking for. Well, we know ultimately everybody's looking for Krishna. So by reading Prabhupada's books, by always chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna will be present in our lives. Any other points? Yes?
In the class you mentioned that it's Krishna's prerogative to give the mercy if he wants to.
Yes.
Like other place we hear that Prabhupada's prayer where he says it's the Daivak, it's the rightful claim of a devotee. So how to understand both?
Mukti pade sadhaya bhak. Liberation becomes his rightful claim, yes, but liberation is not Krishna prema. Just to get free from material suffering, just to attain a better position, this is not the highest destination. Krishna is not bound by any rules. He's the rule maker, so he's the rule breaker. That's why he says, Kanteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Arjuna, you declare it. Because I may change my mind. I may contradict myself. I might change the laws. We're doing something different today. But if my devotee proclaims it, then I will make sure that the word of my devotee, especially my pure devotee, will never go in vain. That's why he made sure that Brahma's promises were kept, that Arjuna's promises were kept. But as far as he himself is concerned, he's not a mundane moralist. He's not concerned about his reputation. He said, I will not fight. So he fought. And Bhishma Dev is remembering that. And very happily, ecstatically remembering how Krishna broke his own promise just to protect his devotee Arjuna. Because to uphold a higher truth, sometimes a lower rule can be broken. But we should not try to use that for our own plan making. Any other points? Yes. Sincerity means that we do not have any ulterior motive. Usually we have an apparent motive, but then we have some hidden agenda also. It may be one, it may be many. So, to actually be sincere, saralata, it means to be simple and straightforward. That's what Prem Kishore Prabhu was bringing up. The residents of Vrindavan, they're so sincere, they're so simple-hearted, they're not duplicitous. It's not that they say, okay, we'll worship Krishna because we want something out of it. But even if we will go to hell, we will worship Krishna. That was the gopi's attitude. We know that if you take the dust from our feet, this is not a good thing. But if giving the dust of our feet will alleviate Krishna's headache only for 1 second, we're ready to go to hell for eternity. That is sincerity. Now, as far as we're concerned, from my viewpoint, I can only look and search my own heart. What is my motivation? Like when you travel, they always ask, at some borders, they ask you, what is the purpose of your visit to this place? And I always chuckle because I think it's really a good question. Because I should be asking myself, what am I doing here? You know, why I still do this? What's in it? What is the purpose of my activity? So we are here to become aware. Right now, we're not even really aware about our motives. We're a little confused what our motives are. We have some primary motives. They may be honorable. I hope so. They may be just. They may be good. But then there is also some other stuff, you know, floating around in our mind, in our heart. Some other ideas, some other plans are lurking there. So, we're here to become more aware and to actually focus, to actually dedicate ourselves. Ekeha Purunandana. With a single-minded attention. With full faith to know that Krishna, He's in my heart. He knows what's good for me. He's a merciful master. He will give me what I require. It's not that you serve Krishna and Krishna will let you hang out there to dry, you know, he will not give you what you deserve. No. But to have this exclusive faith in Krishna, that is sincerity. But many, especially amongst the Hindu background, they use the shotgun method. You know what the shotgun method is? You have an altar and you put all the gods there. Including all the humans and the politicians and the rock stars and whoever, you know, whoever hit the news, you put them there. It's like a shotgun, you know, you use a shotgun, it's got many, many little bullets. So you just hope and pray that one bullet will hit something. And in this way, at least a little bird will fall down and you hunt it, you got something out of it. So I don't know who's God, but let me worship everybody. And in this way, one of them will be God and I will get a little bit of benefit from this fellow. But that's not our attitude. It's not that we're disrespectful. We respect every ant. We respect every dog, every cat, what to speak of any human, what to speak of any deva. But worship, bhaja, worship, that is exclusively for Krishna. So nowadays people say we're doing bhajan for this deva or bhajan for that fellow. That's total concoction. It's complete speculation. That is only for Krishna. Because Krishna is the source. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna is that personality that we want to worship and we want to please. And whatever Krishna will give us, that's fine. He knows better than we what we really need. We have tried our plan making. I don't know about all of you, but I have exceeded my options. And come to the point where I realized that it's pointless. It's counterproductive. Let me try to just worship the Lord and go along with His desire, with His will. Because His will be done, not mine. I do not have any ability even to move my body if He's not sanctioning it. I'm a conditioned soul, suffering the threefold miseries of material existence. Yes?
Prabhupada was asked that question, how to be sincere, but I just say, be sincere. So, what is that? That's a rhetorical remark. So, we know inside of us what we want. So, Atma-nipeksha, to examine our own self very closely. And that will give a very clear indication.
And that comes a lot of times with peer association. Because friends are there to tell you what you don't want to hear and to mirror yourself. And you see yourself in others and you see, oh, okay, you know. But when we are aloof, when we keep ourselves separate, when we're distant, then that peer association will not happen. And we can go on dreaming up any type of bhav that comes to our fertile mind. But when you have that peer association and you're serving together with devotees whom you respect and trust, they will tell you. I think it's, you know, time for a little adjustment. So Prabhupada has very mercifully given us this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And there's a place for everyone in this movement. That requires broad-mindedness. That requires sincerity. And when people can see that they can get this Sangha, they can get this uplifting, at the same time strict, at the same time accepting association, then they will commit to this process and to this movement. But if they see this is just a band of wild individuals who are pursuing their own dreams, their own aspirations, in the context of a spiritual organization, then they'll say, you guys are just doing the same thing like every other Joe who's running at the beach, you know? You just do it in a more mode of goodness, more kind of sophisticated type of way. But that's not what we're trying to do here. So thank you for your attendance, your patience. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi.